that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Federal Civil Defense Administration presents
By the People.
Hello. This is Lon Clark as Dan Taylor, roving reporter for the Key City Chronicle. My assignment, Total Defense. Stories about anything and everything to do with the defense and preservation of our nation, our families, our property, our way of life against disaster, any disaster, natural or man-made. I had been in California for over a week checking naval missile facilities and marveling, as I always do, when I see with my own eyes the incredible instruments man's ingenuity has devised. I was talking to a friend of mine about it, Commander Harrington. Fantastic, Commander, these missiles. Almost impossible for an untrained mind like mine to grasp.
Mm. Interesting thing about missiles, Dan. They have great peacetime potential, you know. Sometime when you have a couple of days to spare, I'd like to give you a rundown on these peacetime potentials. Commander Harrington here.
Long-distance call from Mr. Dan Taylor from Key City. Operator says it's urgent.
Put it through. Mr. Taylor's right here. For you, Dan.
Oh, thanks. Must be my editor. Hello?
Dan, this is Bruce Wagner. Listen, Dan, there's a tremendous forest fire raging down in Southern California.
Yes, I know. I've been so tied up here with Commander Harrington, I haven't followed it closely, though.
Well, it's out of control now, completely out of control.
Oh, that's terrible.
The fire edge is almost 25 miles long and lengthening by the hour. I know how you hate them, Dan. I remember the story you did on the Elkhorn fire last year. This one's a natural. I want you to go down there and cover it completely. Stick with it till every last spark's extinguished. Every charred stick of wood's under control.
You say a natural. I don't follow you, Bruce.
Well, it's a natural follow-up to your story on Navy missiles. Forest fires, Dan, they're a natural disaster. But fires started by nuclear missiles, by bombing attacks, they're man-made. I want you to watch those forest rangers operate in peacetime. Evaluate how well-equipped they are in case of enemy attack. Are you with me?
Yeah, that's a story, Bruce. Mighty important angle of total defense.
Well, you've been cleared with the Department of Agriculture. They promised the full cooperation of the Forest Service. When you get to Altira, contact Forest Supervisor Roberts. He'll see that you get the full picture. Get going, Dan, as fast as you can.
The U.S. Forest Service sent a copter to pick me up and transport me to Mount Florey near National Forest where the fire raged. In the few minutes it took us to reach the heliport, the ranger who picked me up sketched me in on how it had started.
Betrayed by the weather. The things it can do to man and animals.
This golden sunshine. This wonderful dry air. Why, these 2 weeks I've been here in California seem like heaven.
Yeah, to you maybe, not to us. Not to anyone who knows the woods. Been like this for weeks now, months. April, May, June, sun and more sun. Not even a sprinkle of rain.
Well, the things certainly look wonderful. Green, fresh, and growing beautiful.
Oh, sure, sure, they look wonderful. But looks are deceptive. Those trees are tinder dry. Humidity's way below normal. Down there at Mount Florey, those stands of pine and fir were tinder dry. A single spark was all they needed. And everyone connected with the Forestry Service knew it. Rangers, lookouts, firemen, crewmen, truck drivers.
Always seems so incredible. Everyone on guard for the first wisp of smoke. Thousands of people watching, searching the woods day and night.
And despite every resource, catastrophes like this happen. Nature, Dan. Fire, flood, earthquake, tornado, volcanic eruptions. We do what we can. We study and improve our methods and try to outwit her, but nature is still stronger than we are.
Despite every precaution, it had started simply enough, the ranger told me. During the danger season, the Forest Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture hired thousands of temporary helpers, among them lookouts. High up in glass and steel cubicles, hung over space, anchored to rocks with great steel cables, and circled with tower catwalks, lookouts watched those forests as a mother watches a newborn child. Men and women drawn to the dramatic beauty of the silent woods spent months there in those towers watching, living a special kind of life which gave them something they were looking for. High up in Jacinto Cliffs, John Rivers stood on his tower catwalk and stared into the valley below. Then suddenly he saw it. A smoke, a wisp of smoke, where there should be none. He dashed into the tower over to the fire finder, took an azimuth reading, then contacted the district ranger by radio.
Jacinto Bluffs lookout to district ranger.
District Ranger Smith here.
I spotted a smoke, azimuth 123 degrees 10 minutes. SE Section 4, Township 22 South, range 6 West. Smoke dark gray, rising vertically 500 feet, moving northwest.
10-4. I'll get readings from Mount Baldy and High Mountain.
Down at headquarters within minutes, the district ranger received two more reports from lookouts, crossed the three azimuth shots on the big headquarters map, and pinpointed the smoke to half an acre in the valley. Within seconds, pumper trucks and fighting crews were speeding to the smoke.
And they couldn't control it? Why?
Because a bulldozer couldn't clear a rock from a piece of land.
What?
The farmer used dynamite to blast it, and he sparked the dynamite with a battery. Within 10 minutes, Dan, the valley was a raging inferno with a mushroom cloud hanging over it like Hiroshima. Up, there comes your whirlybird. Look her over before you get aboard. She's special.
Oh?
You see that tray bracketed underneath her?
Yeah.
There's hose on that tray. Linen hose.
What?
A big burn like this, the Forest Service has to throw in everything we've got. Mount Florey's rough terrain, and that copter can lay 1,500 feet of hose from the air in less than 2 minutes. Yes, and parachute smoke jumpers in when they're needed. Off the pilot signaling, you better run.
The pilot was grim. He could be heard above the noise of the blade, just enough to bring me up to date.
3 days of firefighting, Taylor, and she's growing by leaps and bounds. First the valley, then the brush, then the forest. Mount Florey's a raging fire. Only the west is still passable.
How many districts in on this fight?
3. But we're bringing in outside help constantly. More bulldozers, fire trucks, men. Fire breaks seem to hold, then the wind shifts, and we're in for it again.
Mount Florey's close to National Park, isn't it?
Well, Mount Florey's part of it. And all around it, Taylor, there are roads, fields, houses. 2 more days of this, and we'll have to start evacuation of Bell City and Northside. Only one chance in our favor now.
What's that?
A couple of dark clouds drifted over. They're trying to seed them now. But we don't count on it, Taylor. Cloud seeding's fine sometimes, but man-made rain isn't something you bet on to stop a fire like this.
The copter dropped me off at Altira, then headed for Mount Florey. Altira, 50 miles from Mount Florey, was still green, but the smell, taste, and feel of fire was there. Great billows of smoke hung thick on the air. A low, muffled sound echoed through the town. The sound of fire, like some tremendous cataract smashing onto rocks, and the urgent sound of machinery, heavy machinery in motion. Bulldozers, trucks, jeeps, and people. Hundreds of people to handle the machinery, to fight the fire with their brains, their hands, their tools, their guts. Men whose hands, faces, clothing were blackened with soot. Men who were breathing hard, coughing. Men going back into the fight. Forest Supervisor Roberts was curt, but explicit.
Spoke to your editor, Wagner. The Department of Agriculture and the Forest Service want you to do this story, Taylor. It's important to us for 2 reasons.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Roberts.
1, total defense. Mount Florey, the National Forest, the Valley, are all threatened. Gases, flames are racing about a mile an hour. 3 days she's been burning, and already she's ravished over 40,000 acres.
Oh, no.
This is a big burn, Taylor, but it's small compared to what an enemy bomb could do. A bomb or an atomic-headed missile. The Forestry Service is geared for peacetime fires and man-made disaster. That's one point we want you to get across.
Yes, Roberts. And the other?
Just plain old instruction, Taylor. Tell them, will you? Tell your readers, when it's hot and dry and they're using the woods, a cigarette butt can smolder in rotten wood for weeks. A spark from a campfire can start a holocaust. We've lost 40,000 acres of timber, cabins, recreational facilities in 3 days. When we can get to it, we've got to kill suffering wildlife, animals, birds trapped in the fire. It's terrible, Dan. Terrible. All right, Here's your transportation. Your editor says you want to get in the thick of this. That's so?
I do.
Well, this crazy crew's going in again. Six of them, with that Jeep and the 12-ton cat. They're going to try and run a fire line ahead of the fire, and they agreed to take you with them if you'll lend a hand.
It was fantastic. The men and the crew, their lungs choked with smoke, near the point of total exhaustion, were back at work again after a two-hour break. Volunteers hired for this emergency, they stuck to their jobs like seasoned soldiers in the closing days of a great battle. Why? You've already done a great job. Forrest's supervisor said he ordered you to rest for a while.
Look, we've got the know-how. This crew's been through it before. This is a big burn, mister. If we don't lick it, it'll lick us. And a lot of us got plenty to protect. Homes and families at Bell City. We're going to fight this one if it takes a month. We've got to. We've got to keep it from Bell City or Northside.
We climbed the crazy single road that led to the head of the fire line. I looked about me and down into the canyon. Twisting masses of flames raced in all directions. A solid wall of fire roared along the side of the canyon. Roared and writhed at that incredible speed. Lord, how it burns.
It's a mile an hour. That's her speed. A mile an hour.
Hey, look, Rusty. It's happened. It's hit the top. She's crowned.
I looked. The flame had suddenly gone mad. Leaped across the canyon like some nightmare. It seemed as though the whole canyon below us had exploded. And in a sense, it had. For the raging fire, leaping from treetop to treetop, had created its own terrible wind and updrafts. Mount Florey was no longer solely at the mercy of the natural winds. The firefighters now had to contend with winds the fire itself created, and on which it fed and grew. But the six-man crew kept going, straight to the head of the key fire line. Some 20 miles beyond it lay the roads that led to Bell City and Northside, lined on either side with stands of virgin timber and rank brush. The air was dark, the sky completely obscured, the atmosphere unbelievably hot. We could scarcely see the radiator of the Jeep at which I was riding. But we made it. We reached our destination.
There, the fire brake's been burned off. How they hold it?
Only fair, Rusty. Seems to be okay, then the wind shifts on that side.
Well, thank God for that bulldozer. We got to reinforce the brakes up here. She'll cross as sure as Mount Florey.
Yeah, I got news for you, Sam. She's already blown. Canyon's crowned. She's licking her way east.
Well, what happens if you lose out here, Rusty?
Just what happened in the last big burn and the one before that. We get out, if we can. And we start all over again. We build a new fire line. Don't you understand, Taylor? We can't sit around and pray for rain. There are towns out there, people and kids and homes. If we don't stop this destruction, there's no end to it. We've got to keep fighting till we've licked it. All right, get those water pumpers and that hose out. We got a fire truck here. We can get going.
Hey, you hear that?
Yeah. I can't see anything, but I hear it. Lights!
Yeah, a couple of planes!
Hey, we got them. Do you hear that, Taylor? Maybe it'll work and maybe it won't, but here at last they come.
Here come the bombers!
I knew what the bombers were for. Back in my days as civil defense coordinator, I'd rushed portable water pumps to the Elkhorn fire. I'd gone through the maneuvers as the forest supervisor and his men had tackled the enemy. Fire lines, backfiring tank trucks. They used them all, and the bombers too. Three surplus old World War II bombers whose bomb bays had suddenly opened and cascaded 300 gallons of water dropped in two salvos. Water that had saturated and drenched some of the critical areas. Then from smaller planes and copters, water bag bombs, 100 gallons each in canvas containers that finished the wetting down process. But the Elkhorn fire had been a small one in contrast to this, and I wondered about that water. Rusty, will they do it? Will they save the head of this line, stop those flames?
That could be. If only we can hold this one point, the cities are protected.
But I understood that air tanker drops were effective only if they came early enough.
Who knows when you're fighting a red-hot, unpredictable devil. You try what you can when you can. These tankers, Mr. Taylor, 10-to-1, they're not filled with water. They're using something newer and better. A chemical fire retardant.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Taylor. I'm a seasoned firefighter. Covered 10 big ones here in California.
Forest supervisor swore after the Dunsmore burn that air tanker drops were a great new tool. They cool slop over so men can pick them up. Even saw them work when fire was crowning in the heavy brush back at the McKinley fire. Those drops knocked the fire down so that the sector team were able to complete their line. I saw it with my own eyes.
Okay, boys, stand back. Way back. Here they come.
It worked. At least it seemed to work. Sparks carried in the updrafts from the valley died on the drenched trees, and the men drew a breath of relief. But then the wind shifted. Exhausted crews in the valley, at Jacinto Cliffs and Mount Florey and National Forest, saw the back-breaking, exhausting work of bulldozers, air tankers, fire trucks, and firefighters suddenly annihilated. The Mount Florey fire ran wild and stubborn. Fighters again started new fire lines. Back at Altira, I conferred with Forest Supervisor Roberts. And 2 days later, I went up in a copter on a reconnaissance mission with the pilot who'd brought me down. The scene was fantastic. Below us, Bell City lay deserted, dead.
Evacuated the entire population yesterday. Civil defense, the Army, Rangers, Marines.
What alternative did you have?
None. Fire's 10 miles away now. Smoke's so heavy, Mr. Taylor, we won't see much, but somehow even through it, you can feel what's going on. Just wait a while. You'll see what I mean.
The smoke was thick and black and angry. But behind it, you could see the glow of fire, feel the consuming heat. And above the roar of the copter blades, you could hear it. Fire. Wildfire on a rampage. The Flamingo Range, a natural watershed for the area, used for irrigation and drinking water. Its tall stands of timber holding the earth, preventing erosion. Flamingo Range had become a flaming hell, destroying nature's own protective cover. Flames leaped over roads, crawled up and down slopes, jumped from tree crown to tree crown. Clouds of smoke rose to 40,000 feet over the Pacific. Ashes and cinders fell 2 inches thick along the coast. And still the fire raged. Two days later, the indomitable fire line stretched for 70 miles around the inferno, and additional reinforcements kept pouring in. Forest Supervisor Roberts was ashen under the black streaks of soot on his face, but he stayed at his post.
I'm sick, Dan, sick at heart.
If you don't get some rest, sir, you'll be dead.
Rest? You're joking? There isn't a telephone line working in the valley. Bell City and Northside are still standing only by a miracle. Well, we've got our reinforcements now. Our thousands of firefighters weren't enough. Soldiers, CBs, and Marines, and more equipment. More tankers, more fire retardants, more bulldozers. This is war, Dan. This is the all-out attack. If we don't win now, this is going to be the worst catastrophe ever to hit this state. It's got to work, Dan. It must.
I tried to write that night in the smoke-filled cabin, but I couldn't. Instead, I went out and lent a hand with the coffee and sandwiches. The courage of firefighters has never been sufficiently publicized. Those men were unconquerable. And in the end, the strength of man and his technical know-how overpowered nature, and the fire was beaten. The forest supervisor gave me 3 solid hours of his time, gave me the facts and the statistics I needed, gave me even more, an open door to the future of firefighting should enemy attack ever occur.
Well, Dan, you know it for a fact. Never has been a fire we couldn't lick in the end, with or without rain.
But fires from nuclear bombs.
We're working on that, too. Bombs, lightning. This is a new age, Dan. We're adding air power to our firefighting forces. Air power is mobile.
It can transport men and material to rough terrain. It can help us lay hose. It can release fire-retardant chemicals. With the regulars, the special help we have on standby, with the Army, Marines, Navy, and Seabees always ready to pitch in, well, the Forest Service is geared to fight back at any fire, natural or man-made. And there's more ammunition in the offing.
Like what?
Many things. We'll go into them when I've rested a bit, but I'll give you something to think about. You're mighty interested in missiles, aren't you?
Naturally. They're part of total defense.
Against an enemy, sure. But just toy with this, Dan. You've seen what fire retardants can do. Try and imagine the potential of missiles loaded with fire retardants.
Why, a fire could be fought from a relatively safe area by remote electronic controls.
Yes. They're working on it, Dan, now. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Forest Service, the Federal Civil Defense. Arms of the government, Dan, in an all-out fight against fire. Any fire, natural or man-made.
This was the fire at Mount Florey in Southern California. Part of the story on total defense. Defense against flames unleashed by acts of nature, carelessness, by an enemy intent on aggression. Defense by the people and by the government at all levels.
That government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Guten Morgen, buongiorno, buenos dias. Wherever you are in service, you carry part of your country with you, perhaps more than you think. For instance, your Social Security card in your wallet means that you can now plan on 2 retirement checks when you retire at the age 65. That's because military service now counts toward both military retirement and Social Security retirement. Social Security can mean more peace of mind as well as better retirement for the serviceman. Now that he's under Social Security, there's better family protection for the serviceman. Protection in the form of regular monthly checks to his widow and children in the event of his death. That's why your Social Security card is your key to 3-way insurance protection for both you and your family. It's an extra retirement check at age 65, or a benefit payable at age 50 if you become disabled. Or if you die, there'll be money for your widow and children. Your service library or reading room has pamphlets on hand to give you complete details on the Social Security program. Have you investigated your Social Security benefits?
By the People is produced and directed by Chick Vincent. The script was written by Judith S. Bublik. This is Lon Clark as Dan Taylor. Heard with me in the cast were Brett Morrison, Lawson Zerbe, Mason Adams, and Roger DeCoven.
By the People has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.